I've been going through the book of 2 Thessalonians. I like to preach through books. All preachers have favorite subjects, and all preachers believe they're led of God. And all preachers sometimes, after they preached a message, really wonder if God gave them that message. I have a very simple formula that the Lord led me to years ago. If you preach through books and you exposit what they say to God's people, then there's no question you're preaching the Word of God, and there's no question that it's what people need to hear. So we've already finished in 2 Thessalonians all the way down to chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. And last Sunday morning I preached on verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. Now this morning, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about the last part of verse 5 in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The love of God is defined, and people who love Him are defined as those who both hear, do the things which God commands them. And one of the things that we are especially admonished to do is to direct our hearts in the love of God and in the patient waiting for Christ. The word for patient is hypomene. It means enduring. It means to endure through whatever happens in your life in anticipation of what's coming. Now, I'm 70. I've lived my 70, so I don't expect to be on this planet much longer. Doesn't really matter whether I am or not. But I am looking forward to the future. And the future for me entails a millennial reign on this earth with Christ. And it entails a heaven age that follows, that lasts forever. I've always been interested in what I was doing from the time I first became aware of my own consciousness. And I've always enjoyed life, still do. And by the grace of God, whatever time is left, I hope I enjoy that. But the truth of the matter is, I've only been here 70 years. Now, I'm going to be somewhere else for 1,000. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible clearly teaches it. And if you're saved, you're going to be there. You say, well, it doesn't really matter to me. I'll just wait and see what it's like when I get there. God tells us a lot of things about what it's going to be like. He tells you a lot of things about yourself. And there are some things that really help us in this patient waiting for Christ. In Daniel 12 and 3, we're told something that's very straightforward, very plain, doesn't leave any exegesis necessary. Daniel 12, 3. He's just been talking about, before that, the name of a lot of people that are written in a book. And he's talking about the time when people are judged out of those books and those whose names are written in the book of life. In Daniel 12, 3, he says something that's very profound. And they that be wise, there are a lot of God's children that are saved that aren't very wise spiritually. They're very wise in a secular manner. They know a great deal about the things of the world, about life and what gives them pleasure in the flesh. And they understand secular things to a very high degree. But this is talking about spiritual wisdom. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The firmament there meaning the division between ourselves and the sun. It's really talking about the sun. It says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness, those who teach and preach the word of God, tell people about Christ, as the stars forever and ever. A lot of people have a picture of heaven that is a complete blank. And they seem to adhere to the old song, roll around the heaven all day. And that's it. You ask them about what the millennial reign's like, what they're going to be like on the other side, and they break in with a chorus of, we'll understand it better by and by when the morning comes. And that's it. The Bible has a tremendous volume of information about the millennial reign and about the final heaven age. And it talks a great deal about what kind of a state we're going to be in. Right now, I'm in a very sad state, the 70-year-old body that's wearing out. When I was young, I was in a very healthy and wonderful state. Heaven is a place where you're going to be alive, and you're going to be in a glorified body. Very interesting thing about those glorified bodies, and that's really what I'm going to talk about, what we're patiently waiting for when Christ comes and gives us a glorified body. Now, 1 Corinthians was written to a local church at Corinth. It was written to people that Paul believed were saved, born-again believers in Christ, and they had submitted to scriptural baptism and were part of a local body. And he tells them something involving their future that we ought to be interested in. In 1 Corinthians 15:38, he says, "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." How come people say there are lots of contradictions in the Word of God? One minute they tell you, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And the next minute, in Galatians 6:7, they clearly tell you, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Those scriptures are not incompatible. Salvation is by grace. But when you arrive in heaven, you're going to discover that a part of the reward has to do with the glorified body, and it has to be to do with your estate for 1,000 years and then forever, which is a lot more important than the brief time you have here. Now, God's going to give you a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. It does make a difference whether you serve God after you're saved. All the saved are going to receive a glorified body. There's no question about that. And everybody's going to be glorious in a glorified body. But some bodies are going to be more glorious than others. 1 Corinthians 15:38. Now let's look at 50 and 51. "Now this I say, brethren," same chapter, same subject, "now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." You're going to be changed. This body in which you live is going to be changed. It's going to be your new house. Now, the question I have in my mind is, what kind of a glorified body am I going to receive? Well, don't give me this old business, "We'll understand it better by and by, and shall we gather at the river." Don't start singing these old hymns to me. I love them, and I sing them all the time, and I don't have any qualms with them. I like them. But the truth is, most people just sing those songs, and their brain functions about as fast as a turtle's. "Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery." Paul says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Okay, there's coming a change. We're going to be changed. Back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God, the patient waiting for Christ." Okay, this word is enduring, hypomene. What's causing me to endure? Why is it that after Christ came to indwell in me, I've decided to try and listen to what he has to say through his word and do what he says? Why do I do that? "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Interesting thing, this change is going to occur. Since it's going to happen to you, if you know Christ as your Savior, and it's going to happen to me, we should at least be interested in it. Let's take a look at 1 John 3 and 2. "Beloved," he addresses people that are saved. John says, "Beloved." He used the word "now." He says, "Now are we the sons of God." You don't have to wait to see if you're a child of God, a son of God, or a daughter of God. You're either one right now or you aren't. And if you don't come to Christ and repent of your sins and trust in Jesus to save you, you never will be a son or daughter of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be." I'd hate to think I got this same old 70-year-old body when I went to heaven. But we shall be changed into the patient waiting for Christ. Well, it doesn't appear yet what I'll be. One day it will appear. It will appear when I'm at the judgment seat of Christ, and when he meets out, decides what reward or lack of reward I deserve. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Jesus Christ, after he was resurrected, was walking down the Emmaus Road with disciples, went in with them, fellowshipped with them, and suddenly disappeared before their eyes. The disciples were meeting behind closed doors, and Jesus suddenly appeared in the midst of them. This glorified body that we're going to receive, this changed body, this new body, is not like this one. And a lot of people say, "Well, it's a physical body." It's not a physical body. It's not made of hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, zinc, lead, oxygen. No, it's not made of that. It's made of something that's quite different. In this room, according to the scriptures, there are angels of God. You can't see them, but they're very much here in another realm, another dimension. There are also the fallen angels of Lucifer. They're here. We can't see them. They're made of something. What do they have? They have heavenly bodies. This body of Christ was quite different. we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, let's take a look at an appearance that Christ made where he gave a preview of coming attractions. He told the disciples that some of them that were standing right there would not die until they saw him coming in glory. And then he immediately took them up to a high mountain, and there he manifested himself to them as he would appear in his coming. I want you to notice the appearance of his body. Matthew 16:18-17:3. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death. He's speaking to the first New Testament church. They were the only ones there at the time. Till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, the patient waiting for Christ. This is what he's talking about, when they shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now notice what he says after he told them that immediately. Remember, there are no chapter divisions in the original writings of the Bible. And after 6 days, 6 days later, he shows them himself coming. He said, there be some standing here, not all of them. And he chose three to see it. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart. Now here's what he looked like and what he will look like in his coming at what we're patiently waiting for. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Will there be any being in heaven who will have a glorified body that will shine brighter than Jesus Christ? No, absolutely not. Will there be any who even approach his glory in heaven? Absolutely not. But there are going to be some glorified bodies in heaven that are more glorious than others. Now that doesn't mean a whole lot to most people, because we tend to look at where we're living here and what we're going to do tomorrow and the next day. We don't think about the future. And yet we're going to have to spend 1,000 years on this earth in glorified bodies if we're saved. And we're going to spend an eternity. Believe me, it will matter to you then. And believe me, this is the place that you prepare for it after you're saved. And your faithfulness is the direct measure of how glorious a body you'll receive. Now, take a look. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Were they as glorious as Christ? No. Had they been, you better believe the disciples would have described it. Were they in glorified bodies? Yes. Moses had already been resurrected from the grave after God killed him and buried him before they crossed into the promised land. Elijah was carried directly into heaven. And so here are two men that have their glorified bodies, but they weren't as glorious as Jesus. The Jews place great emphasis on the law, which are the first five books of the Bible, what are known as the Pentateuch. And to them that is very glorious. We find in John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came, he came as a minister. That is his ministration. It is Christ who decides what sort of a glorified body we receive. Now, whenever Moses came down off Mount Sinai, after he had received the commandments of God, Moses was glowing, literally glowing in his face, and he had to wear a veil over it that covered it. But now he talks about how much more glorious Christ is. In 2 Corinthians 3:8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? God means for us after we're saved to change. Some people don't ever want to change. They want everybody else to conform to what they think. And most of all, they want God to conform to what they think. You have to conform to what God thinks. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that keeps you. And if you figure that you've got all this figured out, you've got another thought coming. Now notice what he says. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now let's look down at the close of that chapter in the summation. 2 Corinthians 3:8. Now let's read 17 and 18. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Lord, Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I've been set free in Jesus Christ. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm free to live as I want. I'm free to sin. Oh, I'm not free from the punishment for it in the flesh. I will be. But God set me free. It's up to me either to respond to the Spirit of Christ that indwells me and follow him, into patiently waiting for him, or to go through life just like I am, just like I've always been, keeping my same opinions, my same biases, my same prejudices, or to learn to be transformed and changed into what God wants me to be. I can't do that except by the Word of God. Notice what he says. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. James says this is a glass. It is a glass. Calls it a glass. A mirror. That's what the word glass means. The more I have seen of myself in this book, the less I like myself. Oh, Brother Michael Murray, we should have a strong, positive attitude. Positive self-attitude. You got that out of college, and so did I. I have 4 different degrees. And believe me, I've been through all those educational courses. And believe me, I know the jargon of the educators. Believe me, I can use 18-syllable words to say nothing, just as they can. But the truth is, you don't need a negative self-image, but you need a positive image of Christ. And you need to see how far short you fall of it, and you need to follow Christ. And you need to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And unless you look in that book and let the book reveal to you what you really are and see yourself, you're never going to change. You're going to stay just like you are, saved, end up before Christ at the judgment seat, get a glorified body. But my question is, how glorious will it be? But we are, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, it's in this book, are changed in the same image from glory to glory. God makes a transformational image change inside you. You don't glow in the dark. But when people see you in the world, and when people are around you, they can sense that inside you is someone that's very good, someone that's very kind, someone that's very merciful, someone that's very loving, someone that's very compassionate. And they may think it's you, but it isn't. It's the Lord. And he's transformed you, and he's changing you. Hopefully, you're not the same self-centered, self-serving, jealous, envious, spiteful, gossiping person you were the day you got saved. Hopefully, there's been some transformational change in your life. Hopefully, people, when they're in your presence, can understand and see a compassionate, loving personality come forth. It's not your personality that they're seeing. It's the personality of Christ. But if you're a gruff, rough, tough type person, and you have an adversity to religion, and you hate all this, just how much of Christ do you manifest to the world? Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Your glorified body is going to be in direct proportion to how much God was allowed by his Spirit to change your inner being. Oh, there aren't going to be any people up there in heaven wandering around in ugly glorified bodies, dark spots all over them looking like lepers. The one up there that gets the least reward will be glorious and be ecstatically happy, but not as happy as the ones who shine as the firmament of the sun. Now take a look at 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. That's what he saved. He saves your soul. A new spirit comes to live in you. His Spirit. It's a perfect spirit, but not a perfect soul. But God saves and seals that soul with the Spirit. That's what the heart is. And then God tries to get that soul to change. For what purpose? To give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, you all have known me here for 29 years. Who have I glorified all this time? Who have I praised all this time? Who have I presented to you all this time? Who have I offered up sacrifice and thanksgiving to and praise? Who have I elevated in my conversation? And who have I put down? Myself and man, but not God and not Christ. Because when God shines in your heart and you begin to read that book, you begin to see the light of the glory of God in the knowledge of the face of Jesus Christ. Well, where do I have this and where do you have it? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. They live inside this flesh, which is sinful, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Your glorified body is going to be in proportion to how much you let something happen in your relationship with Christ who indwells you forever. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What's my biggest problem now that I'm saved? I'm too much like Tom McElmurray and not enough like Jesus Christ. What do I intend to do about it? I intend to keep on repenting, keep on confessing my sins, keep on getting up, and I intend to patiently wait for the coming of the Lord and to try to let him work a work in me. I'm a very sinful man in the flesh. I'm envious, I'm jealous, at times I'm hateful, I'm spiteful. My flesh is a terrible, horrible, sinful personality. I confess it and I admit it. But by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, I'm trying to change. And I'm trying to let people see Christ in me. I'm trying to let them see compassion, love, the things that God indicates are the most important. Romans 12:2. We're talking about transformation. You're going to have a transformation at the final judgment seat. That's when you're going to get your glorified body. But you better let God transform some of your life and change you if you're saved by the Spirit that indwells you. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How much interest do you have in this book? And is it really a book of life? Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. That's what made you alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Your own personal opinions and ideas about this and that don't amount to hill of beans with God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you don't let these words change you, after Christ has come to indwell you, don't expect to receive a glorified body that is shining as the firmament. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice what he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. This book. How well do you know it? You say, that's for preachers. The problem is, most preachers don't study it. Most preachers teach you what you want to hear. Most preachers have learned they can major in teaching on salvation by grace, security of the believer, and Jesus is coming. And for people that are already saved, when he preaches on salvation by grace, they love it. When he preaches on security of the believer, they love that even more, because they can get away with bloody murder and still go to heaven. And when he preaches on Jesus is coming, they love it because they don't ever think about what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. So if you're going to follow preachers, you're making a serious mistake. Preachers will lead you right down a fleshly road. But you better follow that word of God, because that's the only way that your mind can be transformed. And that's the only way you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You will not know it yourself unless you see it out of the word of God. But some men will say, 1 Corinthians 15:35. How are the dead raised up? Notice what he says next. We're talking about a glorified body and waiting for the coming of Christ. And with what body do they come? He asks the question. Then he answers it. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, not made alive, except it die. Well, what happens then? 1 Corinthians 15, 43-44. It is sowed in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Now notice verse 44, because it talks about what body they come with, and remember, God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. It is sown a natural body, that's what I'm living in. It is raised a spiritual body. All of us would like to look like a young Greek Adonis or some beautiful, charming movie star in a natural body. But you better be concerned about what your spiritual body is going to look like. Oh, even if you are the least rewarded in heaven, it'll be great. But the truth is, it can be a whole lot better. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Well, I've lived in this for 70 years. I'm going to have to live in this spiritual body forever. And so I think a lot about it. Galatians 6:7. Person gets saved, they say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, security of the believer, I'm going to heaven. Come on, Jesus. And they don't ever change, and they're just as excitable and emotional and dangerous as they were before they got saved. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you're going to reap what you sow in that glorified body. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want for every one of you sitting here. You may not believe that, but I do. That's what I want for my sons, my daughters, my wife, That's what I want for every one of you, and for all of you who aren't members of this church that are sitting here. That's what I want, because Christ indwells me, and it's Christ that wants that for every one of you. Now he's going to draw a comparison. He's been talking about sowing and reaping and a spiritual body, and in 1 Corinthians 15, 41, 42, he makes a very poignant statement. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. But one star differeth from another star in glory. When you look at the sun, you can't look very long because it's too glorious. On a clear night and a full moon, if you look at the moon long enough, it'll blind your eyes also. Now stars, you can look at them all night. But if you look at them, some are more glorious than others. He says the sun's very glorious, the moon's not quite as glorious, and even the stars differ in glory. Now notice these two words. This is an inspired conclusion. So also, he says, just like the sun, it's more glorious than the moon than the stars, and each star is different in glory. So also is. So also is what? Is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. He says some are going to be like the sun. Some are going to be like the moon. Some are going to be like the stars. Now, what kind do you want? You say, Brother Michael Murray, it can't be that plain. It is that plain. You say, well, that requires faith. Absolutely. If you believe this, and you'll think about it, you'll start trying to find out what it is he wants from you in your life. And you'll start letting him change you into what he wants you to be rather than what you want to be. It matters. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. It's all by faith. As I patiently wait for the Lord, I'm waiting by faith. What I want is a better resurrection. Now, let's take a look at Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, because that whole chapter is on faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith has substance. It's based on the things hoped for. It have evidence. Your life is evidence that you believe the things not seen. The fact that you're patiently waiting for Christ is substance of the things you hope for. If you don't believe in them, how can your life have any substance, and how can you have any faith? For by it, the faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, let me show you some people that believed it and acted on it and believed in a better resurrection and believed, let be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hebrews 11, 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. There is such a thing as a better resurrection. It's tied up in the glorified body. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, the tabernacle or tent that we live in, our body, were dissolved, and it goes in a grave, and it is dissolved. My mother's in the body in the grave is dissolved by now. My great-great-great-grandfather's is dust. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's your glorified body. Who's going to make it? God. It's not made with human hands. What did we say earlier? God giveth his body as it pleaseth him. For in this we groan, in this present body in which we live, our tent, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That's our new glorified body. Now the question is, what kind do you want? Child of God, if you're saved, what kind of a glorified body do you want? You say, well, it's, we're all going to be the same. We can live our lives and live like hell and do anything we want, not follow God's word and still go to heaven. You will go to heaven. But when you come before that judgment seat of Christ, my friend, you are going to be rewarded based on what you did in that body. 1 Corinthians 5, 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Now notice, done in his body, notice, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Some people are going to shine as bright as the sun. Others will shine as bright as the moon. Others as the stars. And among them there will be differences. You say, Brother Michael Murray, who cares about stuff like that? You better care about it. If that isn't true, the Bible isn't true. And the Bible is true. And you better be concerned about it. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. But whatsoever a man soweth, that should he also reap. You're sowing right now to your body. In a moment, 1 Corinthians 15, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, And the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The reward is going to be entailed in where you live in heaven, not whether you go to heaven or not. And it's also going to entail what kind of a body you receive. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly. That's an adverbial modifier used as a descriptive adjective. It refers not to him coming in a few days, but boom, coming quickly when he does. And my reward is with me. What's his reward going to be based on? To give every man according as his work shall be. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We shall all be changed. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters in Christ, you may just be just as saved can be. But my question that I have to ask you is, are you doing things God's way or your way? Ephesians 2:22, in whom, Christ, ye, himaeus, plural, a group of people, members of the church at Ephesus, are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. God inhabits, lives in the midst of every one of his churches that preaches and teaches the truth. You need to be in one of his churches. You need to be serving him in one of his churches. It doesn't save him. But one of his churches is a church that teaches and preaches the truth. Paul wrote to Timothy, these things have I written unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, then he tells why he wrote them, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If a church doesn't preach the truth, you don't belong in it. God builds us together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Unto him be glory in the church. That's where God wants you. As by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hebrews 10:35. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. All the saved are patiently waiting, hopefully, for the coming of Christ. And while we wait, we sow seed. And what we're sowing seed to is what we're going to be like in heaven and where we're going to live for 1,000 years. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. Thank God that you don't have to do all this stuff and all this hard labor and work. And thank God you don't have to be extremely faithful to be saved. Otherwise, we'd all go to hell. But Christ suffered and bled and died that we might be saved by grace through faith. Whatever God's doing with you this morning and dealing with you, as the song leader and pianist come, we're only going to have one stanza of invitation.